So, who is ready for a wild and drama week 17? We have a lot to talk about on recapping week 16 for you all on this New Year's Eve edition of Laura and Friends Inside the NFL, starting right now. Everyone, welcome to Laura and Friends Inside the NFL. I am Laura, your host, and today we have a Week 17 preview and your recap of Week 16. With me today is Ben Kirsch from the New England area that is a Patriots fan like myself. We've talked about this all season long, and here we are at Week 17 of the NFL of the 2020 NFL season. So, Ben, how's it going?
Doing good, Laura. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too as well. So let's start off with some developing story. As I sent the group text on the Laura and Friends Inside the NFL team, is that Albert Breer just tweeted out this, that with the 17-game slate, the interconference rotation for the 2021 season is the full crossover, is the NFC East versus the AFC West, the NFC North versus the AFC North, the NFC South versus the AFC East, and the NFC West and the AFC South. And the one game crossover is 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, et cetera. NFC East versus AFC East, NFC North, AFC West, NFC South, and AFC South, and the NFC West and the AFC North. So, Ben, do you think that this is a schedule that you're going to get used to heading into next season?
I think it's just, it's kind of, you know, once you get your schedule, you kind of just play it by year, week by week, I think. I know that there's some different changes that are going to be coming for next year, and, we'll have to see if they pay off or not, but the league is definitely looking into different, situations, and, adding the 17th game is one of them, and fiddling around with, the divisions and stuff like that, I guess, is something we're going to have to look at. But it seems interesting so far, and we'll have to see how it goes.
Yes, we're going to have to see how it goes. I really am excited about the 17-game regular season schedule coming up. I really think that it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm happy that we're going to reduce some preseason football, because I want more regular season football and more playoff football.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all want more football. I feel like, even though this has been a very unusual type of season that we've ever seen with COVID going on, and many people were skeptic in terms of if it would pull off or not, and we're getting into the last week of the season. So, even though that there has been some changes that we've had to adapt to, we've had to see some teams, without a quarterback or without, a skill set of receivers. But, it's just that one thing that you kind of have to see this year is, you're going to have to adapt to anything that happens. And, looking forward to the finale of games for the regular season on Sunday. And I really can't wait for this postseason starting in January.
Absolutely. So let's start with your Week 16 recap. Let's start with our game first that we talked about, but we're going to talk more about this on Saturday for the final regular season edition of Patriots Talk. Don't forget to join Ben and I on that on Saturday, as we'll talk about the Patriots-Jets game and also recap the Patriots-Bills game. And also next week, don't forget to join us when Ben and I also review the 2020 Patriots season next week on another edition of Patriots Talk next week before the playoffs. So the Patriots got shellacked by the Buffalo Bills. 38-9, it was uncharacteristic the way the Patriots played. The Bills came in. I credit them for getting a big victory there. It was a good victory for the Bills, but the Patriots, they just didn't do their job.
It was just one of those games that I just think that, you know, the Bills were playing with a lot of high confidence. We talked about that before the game on Monday night. And I thought to myself, you know, they could come in and just absolutely, you know, really beat on this Patriots team, and the Patriots don't play their game. And I don't think that the Patriots in any aspects really play great fundamental football. I just think that, you know, their special teams, credit to the Bills, they had a great fake punt, and I really thought that kind of set the tone in terms of the rest of the way. And you also have to give a lot of credit to the way that Brian Daboll and Josh Allen have been working together. You know, they really could, you know, raise some eyebrows for this postseason, but, you know, for the next several years in the division. And, you know, Stephon Diggs, of course, had a very big game. And you take Stephon Gilmore out of the mix. And, you know, J.C. Jackson really got cooked a lot of the game. And I know it was a tough task for J.C., but, you know, we definitely talked about how if Allen and Diggs kind of create some big plays, you know, it could be a long type of night. And, you know, there was their one play, the touchdown that Allen kind of rolled out and kind of threw across his body. I give all the credit in the world in terms of how he made that, because that was almost like a Mahomes type play in terms of what he was able to do. And I just think you just give a lot of credit to that. But the Patriots offense, you know, they really have to figure out things this offseason. They really got to upgrade in terms of a lot of spots. Of course, starting with what the quarterback situation is going to be like. They got to upgrade the receivers, because I just think that the good defenses, I mean, the good teams, a lot of the defense are just basically expecting the run to happen. And I think that, you know, a lot of the defenses aren't respected in terms of the Patriots receiving core, because it's extremely thin, and there's not much in terms of a threat on the outside. Not saying that Jacoby Myers and Amir Bird aren't threats. I think that they are serviceable receivers that you could put in as your number three or fours, but you know, you're asking just way too much for them to just, you know, be perfect game by game and against good teams. I just think that it's just asking a lot. So, you know, the Patriots really didn't turn the ball over. You know, they at least, you know, they didn't do that. But they just they couldn't get off of third downs, which we talked about. You know, the Bills really just really took over kind of from the start of the game in terms of the clock management. And, you know, they just clearly outplayed the Patriots, you know, top to bottom.
They did. You're right about that. From top to bottom, the Patriots, the Bills outplayed the Patriots. Josh Allen and the Bills came into Foxborough and beat this already. I mean, this Patriots team Cam Newton hasn't really worked out a quarterback. And we know that the Patriots are going to need a new quarterback heading into next season. But also, I'm going to say here that I think that with the Bills, they play great football. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about what the Patriots need to do against the New York Jets in order for them to still get a victory, which we can still talk about shortly.
Yeah, I mean, I know this game against the Bills, the Patriots were not playing for anything for like the first time in a while. But I did want to kind of see how they compete. And that was just one thing that was just completely disappointing was, you know, you saw a lot of this year that the Patriots, even though in a bunch of losses, they did compete and they played hard. And even that first time against the Buffalo, even though it was a very heartbreak, gut-wrenching type loss, they played, you know, Well, they played hard for most of the game, and I thought that they're defensively they looked a lot better than they did on Monday night. I think defensively Monday night they looked lethargic, just extremely out-coached, and they just the crazy thing was that the running game for the Bills, which they did a lot of damage in the earlier matchup that they had against the Patriots. And the passing attack from the Bills wasn't as great, the first time, but it was kind of a reversal of this game Monday. The Bills' passing attack was a lot more potent than their. I thought the Patriots actually their rushing defense wasn't terrible, but when you can't keep a very hot quarterback off the field that's playing at a really high level right now, you're just asking for. You're just asking too much, from your defense to do a lot, and your offense just they need to figure out things this off season. I know you're saying Cam Newton hasn't worked out, and has he not worked out to what he probably figures? No, but I also think that he came into a situation where he didn't have a lot of much of help either. You have to take a look at looking at a guy like Hunter Henry or some type of guy this off season. That even potentially if he does come back, maybe you can start to say, okay, maybe he doesn't have any more. I think Cam definitely has lost a step for sure, but I think that I think there's just more to the quarterback situation that I just think the Patriots just are so thin and they have to upgrade in this offseason. I think another thing too is that the COVID opt-outs really showed, and I think that we'll have to see if any of those guys come back next year and might help the team.
Absolutely. We're gonna talk about that in just in, on Patriots Talk on Saturday. Like, we'll talk about the potential final games for each Patriot player heading into their Week 17 matchup against the New York Jets. But also, the Rams, however, they lost to the Seahawks 20-9. But also, Jared Goff is not playing this game. So, assuming if the Rams beat the Cardinals, is there any way the Rams still get in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up with all the scenarios for all the big games on Sunday because it's of course a wild weekend of games that mean a whole lot. So, but this Rams Cardinals game is of course a game to look at, and I think fortunately enough for me, I'm going to be able to get that game to watch. So of course I'll probably be tuning in. But Jared Goff not being out there now, Cooper Kupp's on COVID list, and they're probably not going to have him out there. And then Brockers, one of their defensive linemen today, the Rams kind of they put him on the COVID-19 list. So the Rams are going to be coming in very shorthanded. I think if you take a look at that in that way, I think you got to give the Cardinals the edge in this game because I just think that. You're just asking a lot for a backup quarterback for the Rams that hasn't had a ton of reps, I think, because Jared Goff's just been out there for a lot of the season. So, but we'll have to find out about that. Is there still a chance the Rams could make the postseason? Sure, but I just think that they're really in a tough position at this point to kind of believe that that's the case.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's going to be horrible. We'll talk about that game in a minute, but the Seahawks – won the division, and we know that the Seahawks are looking to play for more on Sunday. As you know, the Seahawks defeated the Rams 20-9. But also another LA team got a win last week against a team that they should be beating, and that is the Denver Broncos. But the Chargers are heading in the right direction when it comes to their quarterback situation and Justin Herbert. But also, for the Broncos, is it time for them for you? Do you think, in your opinion, that you think that this Sunday coming up for the Broncos against the Raiders, that this could be the last game that we see Drew Locke in a Denver Broncos uniform, and then the Broncos use this upcoming draft class to get a quarterback?
I don't think so. I feel like we kind of hear more rumors if that was the case, at least by now, if the Broncos wanted to move on. I think that it's a very young team. They have a lot of guys on the offense. I think that you look at Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, a lot of young guys. I'm not sure if Tim Patrick's going to be around because he's a restricted free agent or not, but he's made some plays too. So I think that, you know, they play in a very tough division. Of course, with Kansas City and, you know, Oakland, the Raiders were, you know, in the mix at least for a while of the season, too. So they're battling through those guys. And then, he, of course, he has to battle with Justin Herbert, which I think that team will hopefully, you know, get better if they get a, you know, better coach. But I really think that I wouldn't write off Drew Lock yet. I know he – I think one thing about Locke is he just has to limit his turnovers, and just I think his execution at times can get very erratic. But no, I would I be surprised if they draft somebody? No, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think you know, you should just write off Drew Lock for this season. I think that you know, try to just give him some time and work with the you know, an offensive coordinator that will help him out develop. And I think that we'll have to see, at least in the next several years, if he's still going to be the answer or not.
We'll just have to wait and see, that's for sure. But now, with that being said, now let's talk about our Sunday Night Football pick. But I'm going to say in this pick, for real, I think the Washington football team is going to win and beat the Philadelphia Eagles. But what I would like to see happen is that the Eagles beat the Washington football team and that the New York Giants win the division. With the win over the Cowboys, is that going to happen? Maybe. But realistically, I think the Washington football team is going to win and beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more 2020 for majority of the NFC East teams basically playing for something on the line, because most of those teams for a lot of the year, you know, weren't extremely, you know, really good. It's just crazy to think that between the Cowboys, Washington football team, or the Giants, they all have a chance to, you know, to potentially make the, win the division. It all kind of depends in terms of that Giants-Cowboys game kind of in the earlier slot. For Giants fans that, you know, are tuned in, they, of course, you know, need to have a win for any hope. And then you have to have a an Eagles, I think, victory over the Washington football team. But if the Washington football team wins, they win the division. So if the Cowboys beat the Giants, I think they would have to have the Washington football team also lose. So I just think that there's a lot of moving parts to this. And my game pick as of now, I'm actually picking the Eagles to win this game. I think with the Washington football team, they, you know, I know Alex Smith has had a great story this year, and I still root for him a lot because of his, you know, journey. And I just really have a lot of respect for the quarterback. But I really like what the way that Jalen Hurts has really helped that culture and develop of that Eagles team. And I know that they had a tough game against the Cowboys this past Sunday. But I think, you know, being on a Sunday night game, you know, the Eagles aren't playing for anything, but they're playing against division type rival team that's trying to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas squeaked in. I would not be surprised if that's the case. If Dallas defeated the Giants and then the Eagles defeated the Washington football team. I think it's going to be a really fun game on Sunday night, though, and definitely could go either way. I think that if the Washington football team gets an early lead, there's a good chance, because I really like their defensive line and what they've been doing all year.
Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking, in my opinion, I think realistically, I think the Washington football team will win, and I think that the Giants will probably lose to the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants-Cowboys could go, you know, if you flip a coin. You know, it's one of those things that if Andy Dalton actually for the last couple of weeks has played, you know, decent football. I'm not saying over the top, but He's definitely given the playmakers that he has with, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, who had a big week this past week. And, you know, Zeke is, you know, of course, I won't say Zeke is the same type of running back that, of course, that they're paying him over in Dallas. But, you know, he has, I think, kind of started to get things a little bit going the last several weeks. So, of course, you still have to respect him on the ground game, and then you have to worry about, you know, the receivers that the Cowboys have. And I think the Giants, outside of, you know, Bradbury, they have Peppers. So they have a couple guys in the secondary. but I'm not really too high in terms of if they can sustain their offense, especially you take out Saquon Barkley for a lot of the year. They really struggled, with that when Daniel Jones has actually came back, that Cardinals game and then the Ravens game. It's been a tough go for him. So I think, it could be a very low scoring game too. I think just because both teams are playing for something on the line, and I'm not sure exactly who's going to win. I just think it can come to, a final drive, a final turnover that might pay the difference here. So we'll have to see.
Yes, we'll have to see, that's for sure. So now with that being said, now let's talk about now our locks and upsets of Week 17. So one of my two locks I have is the Patriots over the Jets, the Packers over the Bears, and then my upset specials are the Dolphins over the Bills, which I want to happen, but it's not going to happen because I think the Bills are the better team, and I think that the Dolphins will be well-polished within the next 2 to 3 years with Tua Tagovailoa. And the Browns, I think they're going to beat the Steelers.
I'm going to go with my lock. I mean, I'm probably going to go the Packers over the Bears. And then I'd say my upset. I would say my upset is the Eagles over the Washington football team.
That could happen. But speaking of the Packers, David Bakhtiari suffered a season-ending knee injury, and he's done for the season. Do you think that is such a big blow to the Green Bay Packers offensive line?
Yeah, for sure. They paid him a 4-year contract extension, I believe, this year. So, they of course want to keep one of their key offensive linemen, and I think the offensive line for the Packers has done a very good job, helping out Aaron Rodgers and his MVP type season he's putting on. But Bakhtiari is a big part in terms of what they do, through the running game, with Aaron Jones. And I think just their pass protection with him helps a lot. So, they're playing a Chicago defense that, of course, is, Khalil Mack and a bunch of guys that can, create havoc. And, it'll be definitely interesting to see the rest of the year how the Packers adjust to the loss of a big-time offensive lineman like Bakhtiari.
Absolutely. So you have the Packers over the Bears in a lock, and do you pick your New England Patriots and my New England Patriots to beat the New York Jets?
I do. I have the Patriots defeating the Jets. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring type of game. We could talk more about it on Saturday.
Yes, we'll talk more about it Saturday to see if this score is going to be over or under 20 points.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it looks like both teams are just playing for pride.
Yeah, it's a game that, I think, the Patriots-Jets game is, one of four games that, does not mean, anything. I think the others, the Raiders-Broncos, and then, a couple other two other games that are just kind of be kind of there. Every other game, it has implications, the rest of the way. And I think that it creates just a lot of fun drama that everybody, of course, likes to see in the NFL towards this time of year. And, right before the playoffs, it's always kind of interesting to see which teams make it, that are kind of on the cups and of trying to make it. And then, of course, some teams that are right there that, of course, just come up a little bit short and focus on the off season.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But now let's talk about your pick between the Bills and the Dolphins. I picked the Dolphins because of Brian Flores, but realistically, I think the Bills are going to win. And then there's another interesting question that we'll talk about next after your thoughts.
Yeah, I think the Bills are just clicking on all cylinders right now. I really think that the Dolphins really had a hard time getting things going on Saturday with the way that Tua kind of played. And of course, if you probably did see the news that the guy that came in and had some magic, Ryan Fitzmagic, Fitzpatrick, but they call him Fitzmagic down there, which of course he deserves a name. But he tested positive for COVID-19. They actually signed Jake Rudolph today to kind of be a backup in case Tua, you know, they bench him again, or they just, you know, if he's a little bit banged up or whatever during the game. So I just think that the quarterback, you know, situation kind of in Miami right now, but, you know, I know they do believe in Tua, and I do believe in Tua as well. But their offense, you know, Jakeem Grant has been kind of banged up the last several weeks. Not sure in terms of how Devontae Parker's, you know, and I think he's been dealing with kind of something as well. Mike Gesicki, a lot of their main type of playmakers that they have, I think, you know, potentially could be out for this finale. So with that being said, I think that Buffalo has a bigger advantage, especially with the way that Stephon Diggs and Allen and McDermott has been coaching. And, you know, the running game, I think, could do some damage too. So I think that, you know, the Bills have been scoring, but, you know, 25 points or more, usually, I think, in like the last, you know, four or five games. So I think that they keep this going. And I think Bills Mafia for sure is doing a lot of celebrating this right now in terms of the way that their team's going. And of course, if you didn't see that, they're also excited that they're going to be able to have some fans for their wild card match.
Yes, that's going to be amazing. I think I was going to say that everybody in Western New York is so excited right now and pumped about their Bills.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that they haven't really experienced, you know, this much joy, because, you know, our Patriots have just absolutely, you know, dismantled them for the last decade, to say the least. But
and now it's time for the passing of the guard.
Yeah, well, it depends in terms of how you know, the Patriots kind of rebuild their team and how many years it'll take them. You know, I think for now you could say that for sure, that they are kind of passing the torch with them, with the Bills and the Dolphins, because I think that they're kind of more their roster and stuff like that's kind of more built for postseason, you know, bound. And, you know, we saw last year that the Bills are kind of right there. You know, the Patriots had kind of one more hurrah to win that division. But I think that we've seen, at least with the Bills for sure, that's it looks like they're going to be consistent, you know, making the postseason year by year, at least for the next couple of years. Not sure in terms of how long it's going to be, but we could see the Bills in the postseason for, you know, quite some time here. You know, that they did make
you could
it,
see you could probably see this, the Bills and the Dolphins flipping back and forth between AFC East crowns.
We have to see that, man. I mean, it's definitely going to be very fascinating to see how things go. But I think it for Bills, they have to win something the postseason. You know,
they have not won a Super. They've never won a Super Bowl before.
Yeah, well, it's not just that, but I think if you're the Bills this year with the way things have been going and stuff like that, I think it'd be a huge disappointment if they at least don't win one postseason game this year.
They should win a postseason game. And we'll talk about that next week. Now let's go to a Dolphins question. So Colin Cowherd said something that this could be Tua's last game as a Dolphin. And also, I said something like, Colin Cowherd, what are you talking about? It's not true. I believe, I 100% believe that Tua Tagovailoa is the Dolphins quarterback of the future. You just have to give him some more weapons, and you got to give him some more help. You got to give it time. Do you think Tua Tagovailoa is the Dolphins quarterback of the future?
Yeah, because I would not know why they would, you know, decide to draft him just to think that he wouldn't be the guy. I think that, you know, between him and Herbert and Burrow, I mean, those three all have their own strengths and weaknesses as young players. I think that, like you said, you have to give these guys time and, you know, see how they develop, how they adjust to, you know, things on the fly here. So I just think with that being said, I think Tua is going to be the guy for the long term. And I think he has a very good relationship with Brian Flores. And, you know, I think that him and a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he was able to learn from a veteran who's been, you know, around the league for a long period of time, but also been around the division for many years too. So he has a lot of the ins and outs in terms of what, you know, other teams have, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of their coaching staff and stuff like that, and their players, kind of just the different environments. So I think it's a huge, you know, learning lesson for a young guy like Tua to, you know, get some game action. And I think that, I just think if you give him time, I think that the more he progresses over time, he will play to the capability, I think, that the Dolphins hope that he can be where they drafted him.
I think by next year he's going to be even better. But also with the Dolphins having two first-round picks, I expect the Dolphins to nail this draft. But I expect the Dolphins with their two first-round picks they have, they'll draft a receiver, and I could see them drafting a running back to help give Tua some weapons.
Well, I think one of the running backs have been very good, Miles Gaskin.
No, I mean, Gaskin's good, but I'm saying, like, they should draft a running back like Najee Harris.
Yeah, that would be quite something. And, you know, it would be pretty cool. I know Patriot fans would hate me for this because I would hope that, you know, a per scenario that he might come to us because we definitely need it. But Devontae Smith, I think, if he ended up going to Miami, boy, better watch out for the other teams in the division, because they, of course, already have a chemistry from their playing days in Alabama. I think Smith is a guy that is going to be a very – and I know we could talk more about the draft in this offseason, but he's one of my favorite guys for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing him play more tomorrow in their bowl game. But
yes, they got a big college bowl game. Or I'll be watching that college football playoff game tomorrow just to scout Mac Jones so that I can see if he's a future Patriot, which I think he will be. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We'll also add to our show our college football playoff picks in just a minute, as the four teams, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and Notre Dame, all have NFL caliber players in that bowl game, and also talk about which teams are on the watch with those guys. Like, for example, I think for the Dolphins, since they have the number 3 pick in the draft from the Texans, I'm going to probably enter this name in my mock draft for my 3rd pick for the Dolphins. I'm going to have them get Ja'Marr Chase from LSU.
Yeah, that's a guy that, you know, he didn't play this year because the elected opted out, but he would have been a very fun guy to see play this year. Of course, he had a big game in the national championship against Clemson last year when Burrow had a phenomenal receiving class. Him with Justin Jefferson, I mean, just two very good elite route runners with great hands. You know, they had Terrence Marshall, at least for this year, the receiving core too. So the Dolphins, they could figure out a lot of things, you know, in their offensive game plan. I think maybe bringing some old friends from Tua's school could also, you know, help them try to gain some immediate, you know, help, you know, with that team and gain some chemistry in the big leagues.
So, do you think Ja'Marr Chase will be a Dolphin, or do you think he gets drafted by the Bengals to reunite with Joe Burrow?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I personally think that if you're the Bengals, you want to draft an offensive lineman from Oregon. I think that that's what they have to do in order to keep Joe Burrow upright. You know, I know that that Burrow's had a great year in Cincinnati, but of course,
and he will continue his upward progress.
Exactly, yeah. Because I think the Bengals are set at the receiving core, to be honest. You have
T. Higgins, but talk about this. If they get rid of A.J. Green, then you're going to need someone to fill the void that's left by A.J. Green. And you go out there and get Ja'Marr Chase out there to reunite with Joe Burrow, I think you're fine. You're going to be good with John Ross and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a fun young star type of players. You guys have Chase, who's played with Burrow, and then you've already seen the chemistry between him and Higgins kind of the first year, and then you have Auden Tate and Tyler Boyd, of course, has been there for a couple of years, and he's just getting better. I think AJ Green is a trade piece, To be honest, he's not a great, you know.
You kind of agree with what I was saying here about why I think the Bengals should go after Ja'Marr Chase. It's because with A.J. Green, if he leaves, then you got to get somebody to take his place on the roster, and you got to get younger at that position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know in terms of what the Bengals want to do, to be honest, but I definitely think that they have to figure out their offensive line plan. I think that drafting offensive lineman wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, they need to get an offensive lineman first, and then if Ja'Marr Chase is available in the second round or something like that, then I think you can go ahead and get him. But I feel like right now Ja'Marr Chase will probably be a whatchamacallit. If not a Miami Dolphin, then I could see him being maybe a Philadelphia Eagle, because I could see Devontae Smith being drafted number 3 overall so that he can reunite with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami.
I think Devontae Smith could be taking a look at for the Giants. I think the Giants need a game changer on their offense. Him or Chase, I wouldn't rule out the Giants taking a look at.
Or maybe Ja'Marr Chase drops in the first round.
Now, I wanted to ask you in terms of a quarterback that is not going to be, two quarterbacks, actually. Of course, one of the quarterbacks, one of my favorites, of course, who had a tough game against Oklahoma, Kyle Trask, but he didn't.
Trask is a potential Patriot, but I don't know if he's a potential Patriot. We'll talk about that draft stuff in a minute, but you got the Bills over the Dolphins, and you got the Packers over the Bears, and then you got the Patriots over the Jets. What about the Browns and Steelers? And you get to see Mason Rudolph start against the Browns, and Myles Garrett has something to say about that.
Yeah, this is a tough one because the Browns, I know that the good news is they're supposed to get a lot of their receivers back off the COVID list. Landry and Higgins, I think, Donovan Peoples-Jones. So I think that, of course, helps Baker out a ton because you also – still have guys like Austin Hooper. Harrison Bryant, I think, got he's on COVID. They put him on COVID list. But I think, you know, him and, Chubb, and, of course, you have a Hunt. You have a lot of the guys now kind of, you know, like when Baker played against the Ravens. You saw the performance that he had against them. If he has a lot of his guys with him, he's able to, I think, play a lot better at a higher level. And we're kind of have to see against a Steelers defense that I think is coming off the second half against the Colts. I think they really helped a lot to get Big Ben and company comeback win against the Colts. So, and T.J. Watt, and I know Dupree is out for them for the rest of the year, which is a huge loss. But this should be a really fun game because, of course, the Browns are trying to make the postseason. Of course, they the last couple of days that they've had to shut their facility down due to positive cases. So they haven't been able to really practice on their actual field, but they're going to have to be ready to go regardless of the fact, because of course you've seen a lot of other teams kind of have to deal with things like that during the year. And of course, not everything's going to be in a perfect world. You know, they're going to just have to go out and play to their best ability. And I think the Browns are going to win this game because I really think the Steelers, without Big Ben, I'm not sure in terms of how much Mason Rudolph can give you, especially against a really good defense that now won't have Denzel Ward because he has COVID. So I don't really know, who really is going to win this game, because I think on both sides, there's just a lot of kind of big losses, I guess you can say. But I'm going to go Cleveland if I had to pick one.
All right, now let's go on to our rest of our Week 17 picks. Let's start with the AFC South and who's winning these games for the last games of the regular season. So I got the Colts beating the Jags. I think that's going to be a given lock. And also I got Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans beating the Houston Texans. What about you?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go same as you. Colts over the Jaguars. You're seeing that the Jaguars are at this time just tanking for Lawrence. And
yeah, it's a foregone conclusion that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick in the 2021 draft to the Jags.
Their mindset for players is basically just let's just get through the last game. We want this to just be done. And, you know, the Colts, of course, are wanting to finish off their regular season off with the win because they're still right in the thick of the race here. So, and then the Titans and the Texans. Yeah, I'm going to go Titans too. I think that the Titans are going to be able to move the football around. And you saw the comments the other the last couple of days from J.J. Watt in terms of how it just seems like a lot of the main guys kind of there are kind of just disconnected. And I know that they've been playing hard, but it's just been a very tough long year for Houston Texans team. And I'm going to go with the Titans, who finished off their season with the bang. So I think between the Colts and Titans, they're going to each have some W's by the end of the day Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the Titans win the AFC South, and I think the and I think the Colts will get in as a wild card.
It's definitely very possible.
Yeah, it is very possible, but I do think I'm kind of hoping that the Tennessee Titans win the AFC South.
We'll have to find out. I mean, both teams, the Colts and the Titans, have had great years, and you know, one of them is going to come out on top to win the division, and perhaps the other one might make it as a wild card. So you can see both of them for sure getting into this postseason hunt.
All right, now let's talk about a question for you about the AFC South. So assuming Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick in the 2021 draft, is he immediately the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I say yes.
Yeah, I would say yes too, because they just kind of have to start off from scratch. And I think that Lawrence is going to be a guy that they can build a roster off for the long term.
Yes, with the two first-round picks they have, I think the Jaguars, I think they'll be a lot better than they were. They'll be a lot better next year than this year.
Absolutely.
Now let's move on to the NFC South. So you got Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Matt Ryan at the Atlanta Falcons. And then you got Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints taking on Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers. So let's start with the Buccaneers and Falcons game. So the Buccaneers have a playoff spot. And Tom Brady gets to see Matt Ryan again, and they just met 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to say here, I think Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get a victory over Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Buccaneers have to play a full 60 minutes. You know, Brady, you know, his pressers have – he's been addressing that. You know, he doesn't want to look at the postseason hunt as of now. He wants to really win this game on Sunday because kind of the way their performance went on a couple weeks ago, they very well could have lost that game if it didn't come down to kind of what the Falcons are known for, unfortunately, for their franchise, and that's giving up big leagues at the end, not finishing off these games. But I really think that the Buccaneers will play, you know, much better in this one. I think that their offense, you know, I know that they haven't played great teams the last couple weeks, but they've had to still put off a good product out there on the field. And I think you're starting to see that they're starting to kind of click a little bit here. You know, Antonio Brown actually has had a couple touchdowns the last couple weeks. Which, of course, is a scary sight because he is your number three receiver behind Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So if that's, you know, if Brady can, and his offensive line can keep him upright and just him to consistently keeping drives out there, I think that the defense and the Buccaneers is going to do what they can to keep the Falcons limited. And I think they will win this football game, the Buccaneers will.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about who's winning between the Saints over the Panthers. So I'm going to say the Saints are going to win this game. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm going to put the Saints too.
Yeah, so not much to talk about there, but I think the Panthers need a new quarterback, and I think they're anxious to get Justin Fields here and steal the starting quarterback job from Teddy Bridgewater.
I would also look at a Zach Wilson from BYU. I would not rule that out for the Carolina Panthers either.
Yes, not rule out Zach Wilson too to potentially steal Teddy Bridgewater's job there. So we talked about this earlier that I would like to see the Giants beat the Cowboys, but realistically, the Cowboys will beat the Giants. What about you?
I'm going to go Cowboys too. I just don't know in terms of how the Giants offense is going to put up sustained drives, and I think that the Cowboys are going to find ways to run the football and for Andy Dalton to make some plays down the field, to make some scoring drives happen. And I think that they will score enough points to pull out in this game over the Giants.
All right, now let's talk about the Lions and Vikings. So we talked about Packers-Bears, but Lions and Vikings, both teams are playing for pride. But also, here's a question for you. Here's a Lions question for you, and here's a Falcons question for you. For the Lions, do you think that you will see the last of Matthew Stafford in a Detroit Lions uniform?
Well, I think a lot of people are wondering that, you know, right? I think that he has given his all there to that that franchise and that to that city. I also, you have to think about two receivers that could be out there in free agency, maybe even three, Danny Amendola, Kenny Galladay, and Marvin Jones Jr. So you take those guys, you know, you're definitely seeing a rebuild, and I'm not sure if Matt Stafford at his age wants to be a part of a rebuild. I think Adrian Peterson, you know, his comments, I think, today or a day or two ago, I think he's not interested in a rebuild for the Lions, so you could very well see Adrian Peterson going somewhere to try to win a championship.
And you think Matthew Stafford stays in Detroit?
I think it's very 50-50. I think, you know, we'll have to see what's best for him and what's best for his family, but I think he deserves I think he's a very underrated and underappreciated type quarterback just because he is – played for a team that hasn't had a lot of winning over the last couple of years. And I think that you put him into a team that is going to try to build for a postseason push, I think he will get a lot more of the credit around the league.
I really think that my answer to that is I really expect Matthew Stafford to remain a Lion.
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, I'm not sure what the contract is for him as of this point. But I think that if he wants to remain there, he definitely could.
All right. So I have the Lions beating the Vikings. And what about you?
I'm going to go to the Vikings. I think that the Vikings are going to finish off this season on a high note. I think that they were in a lot of games this year, a lot of close games. Some went their way, some didn't. But I really like – I think Kirk Cousins had some really good moments. Of course, other moments that kind of he it was kind of the average type Kirk Cousins. Of course, he didn't get over kind of what he's kind of been known for. I think he's just kind of there in terms of a quarterback per se, Kirk Cousins. But I think he's serviceable enough that he can get you some decent wins and over a course of the season. I think that this is a great matchup for him. A Lions defense that got absolutely carved against Tom Brady. And I think that the Vikings have a bunch of receivers that can go off this week. And Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson are two guys that can do a lot of big things. And, you know, they of course, if it wasn't for Alvin Kamara, a 6-touchdown type game on Christmas Day against the Saints, they probably would have been in it. I mean, they scored a good amount of points in that game. I think they'll be able to win this game and finish off on a high note.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about a Falcons question. Are you going to see the last of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones in an Atlanta Falcons uniform?
I'm going to say no for each. I think they're both going to stay at the end of the day. But I wouldn't rule out them being a kind of trade chatter and stuff like that in this offseason. I think at least for Julio, there's been kind of swirlings and rumblings here and there about him potentially going somewhere. I don't think he's going to want to leave that franchise. I also think Matt Ryan doesn't want to leave either.
Yeah, I don't think both won't want to leave. I think I could see both of them staying for another 2 to 3 years, and then whenever Matt Ryan retires, then he drafts a successor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what Falcon fans think about Matt Ryan, because I think he's starting to get up there a little bit in age. I think maybe they want to go younger as of now for a quarterback, because I don't think that they're going to be contending in the near future by any means. So I think that they want to kind of, you know, see as of now what their kind of their future looks like. That's why a guy like maybe like Trey Lance could be a great fit there. But, you know, we'll have to see how that kind of those offseason talks kind of go between those two, because they've been mentioned before in terms of them potentially leaving. And I'm not going to be buying that, at least until I see kind of more consistent, trade chatter about that.
Now let's talk about who's going to win between the Ravens and Bengals. I picked the Ravens to pound the Bengals, but if they lose to the Bengals, I would be so surprised and mad at the Ravens.
I'm going to go Ravens, but I think the Bengals, you know, have been playing for pride, and they've been playing hard the last couple.
They're playing hard because they're ready for Joe Burrow to return. That's what I think the reason why they're playing very hard down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just because it's for Burrow, but I think that, especially this year, I think that no team it's a guarantee for, no matter who you're playing for a victory. If you don't come out there and play your game, you can lose on a given type basis. And I think that for a huge example, like Pittsburgh going into Cincinnati, it was a two-win Cincinnati type team. I don't think many people were saying, oh, I really think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be able to win this football game. And lo and behold, they were able to win this football game because they were able to, just play hard and really just do their jobs against a really good opponent. And I think that this Ravens team, though, has been playing much better ever since that COVID situation happened.
Yes, they have. Absolutely right about that.
I think that they, last year they had just a phenomenal type of run. But I think this year, I think that more teams are kind of figuring them out. I don't think that they are just going to overpower you by any means like they did last year. But I think that they're starting to kind of, if you can't get them off the field, like Lamar Jackson, you know, using his legs to his ability and him finding guys like Brown and Snead and even times like up to Dez and stuff in the red zone. And also Mark Andrews has been a great help for Lamar Jackson with his passing ability. I think this could be a team that you do not want to watch in the playoffs. The biggest thing about Baltimore is how they perform in the postseason, because we haven't seen that really yet.
You're absolutely right on the Ravens. I mean, you know, I think they're going to be one of the three teams that will get the wild card spot. But also, let's move on and talk about the NFC West. So I have the Seattle Seahawks beating the San Francisco 49ers, and also for the 49ers, I know that Kyle Shanahan said that I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback of the future for the Niners, and he wants him to start in 2021. What do you think, and who do you have winning between the Seahawks and the 49ers?
I'm bigger than the Seahawks to win this game. I think that the Niners did beat Arizona last game, and Arizona is trying to try to make the playoffs here, but I really think that just the Niners don't have everybody healthy still. I mean, Jimmy G, not having him out there, I think really hurts their team. But I also think that the Niners are going to play hard against Seattle. I do think Seattle, the last several weeks, even though they've had wins here and there, they haven't been dominating teams like they were earlier in the season. I don't think their flow of play hasn't been there all the time. But, if they're able to kind of get some wins, down the stretch, I think that's basically all they care about. So I'm going to pick Seattle to win this game. I think part of it is I think Russ is going to be able to, do enough to give the defense, to make some plays here and there. I think they'll win.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about who's winning between the Rams and Cardinals. I got the Rams winning, but I feel like John Walford could do the impossible. I could say that, but could Kyler Murray and the Cardinals get a win in L.A.?
I could see it. I think that Kyler Murray is going to be coming in very motivated in this game because I really think that, you know, he was disappointed with the way things happened last game against the Niners. And I think that he is going to come out with a huge game. I think Kirk and Hopkins, I think Hopkins against Jalen Ramsey, of course, is a great matchup like it was earlier in the season. I think the Cardinals also will remember that loss that they had to the Rams earlier too. So I think that they will the Cardinals do have a chance to win this game, and I actually am going to pick them to win.
All right, now let's move on to the AFC West. So the Raiders and Broncos are both playing for pride, and you think Drew Lock is still the quarterback of the future for the Denver Broncos? I personally think so.
Yep, I'm going that direction too.
So I'm going to say the Raiders win and beat Denver, and they finish out 7-9 like they did last season.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go Raiders too. I think that the Raiders will pull this game out in the one of the play for pride type games we'll see Sunday.
All right, now let's talk about who's going to win between the Chiefs and Chargers. The Chiefs already have nothing to play for since they already have the number one seed in the AFC. But the Justin Herbert and the Chargers are looking to finish out the season on a good note. I still pick the Chiefs to win because I really want to see what Chad Henne can do. I think Chad Henne was a great college quarterback, great quarterback for the Dolphins, and I think Chad Henne's going to have a good game.
Yeah, I mean, usually when you think Chiefs, you think of a guy in Patrick Mahomes, but of course the Chiefs have nothing to play for in this one. Smart by Andy Reid to rest guys that you will need in the postseason. And I think for the Chargers, I think that the Chargers could have a chance to win this game, to be honest, because you saw the Chiefs, you know, last week, they, if it wasn't for some Mahomes magic at the end where he actually almost got picked off by A.J. Terrell to potentially for the Falcons to come out on top with the upset victory. I mean, I think that the Chargers have a chance to, you know, they were really close in that game and against the Chiefs early in the year. I think that they give them a good fight. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Chiefs will win this game. I think it could be a very low-scoring game between the two because I don't know about Chad Henne. I think he might be all right, but I'm not sure in terms of as well how long the Hills and Kelsey. I think Kelsey might not even play. I think they might shut him down. So I don't know about this one because, you know, if you have a lot of your stars for the Chiefs kind of out, you know, for nothing, you could see the Chargers coming in and winning.
Oh, yeah. The Chargers could just come into Kansas City and just get a win there. Justin Herbert's already had a great year. And Justin Herbert, I think with the win over the Chiefs, he could lock up the Rookie of the Year race.
Yeah, Herbert is, I think, going to be Rookie of the Year for sure.
All right. Now that being said, now let's talk about some college football playoff picks before we end the show. So I have the Alabama Crimson Tide beating Notre Dame tomorrow and going to the national title game. And I obviously have Clemson beating Ohio State. And my picks for the national championship game is Alabama and Clemson. So some future Patriots to watch in this upcoming bowl games.
Yeah, I'm really excited for these games too. You know, I think Bama and Notre Dame could, you know, Notre Dame got their butts kicked against Clemson, but I think that they will play a much better game in this one because they still want to make sure that you know, they can finish their season on a high note. Bama, I think their defense had a hard time against Florida. I think, you know, the Notre Dame has a really good offense too. But yeah, I'm going to go Bama. I think that they just can score on a consistent basis. And I think it's going to be too much for Notre Dame to overcome. and the Clemson and Ohio State game, I'm not really been high in terms of how Fields has been playing in the big games. I think that they're going to have to use Fields to get guys, you know, open and have them throw in big time moments. I think that the only reason why they beat Northwestern was because their running game was really good. I'm not sure in terms of if Olave is playing, and that was a big loss for Fields because he plays a lot better when he's out there. And of course, they have guys like Garrett Wilson too that he could throw to as well. But you know, guys like Master T get running back. I think they got to get him going. And Ohio State, they win this game if they can keep the offense of Clemson off the field on a consistent basis. And I don't think that's happening. I think that Clemson's had great track records against Ohio State. I think that keeps going. I think Alabama is going to be able to beat Notre Dame. So I think that it will come down to Clemson. It'll come down to Alabama once again for the title.
Yeah, so that being said, now let's talk about the national championship game pick. I've picked Clemson to win, although I love Alabama. I think I want to see Trevor Lawrence come out of end his collegiate career as a national champion in Clemson.
If they both play in the national championship, I'm going to go Alabama, and a really, really close one, though. I think that I think it could go either way, and I would not be surprised. I would kind of want to see Lawrence finish with the title, but I think that Devontae Smith for sure could have a huge postseason, and he could be the Heisman this year come Tuesday. I also speaking of Heisman, before we end the show, I wanted to kind of get your pick in terms of who deserves the Heisman, and who do you think will win the Heisman? So, of course, you have Trevor Lawrence, you have Devontae Smith, you have Mac Jones, and I forgot who is the last.
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Justin Fields. I think Devontae Smith is going to win the Heisman. AP Sports already named him the Player of the Year, and I think that usually don't give receivers the Heisman very often. So I think that he is just one special talent that not the college football will see very often. I think that he will win this Heisman. But if there has to be a runner-up and another guy that could win it, I'm going with Lawrence for sure.
My pick to win the Heisman Trophy is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could definitely be a big pick as well. So we'll have to see. So, you know, thanks again for having me tonight.
Yeah, so anyways, guys, so hope everybody has a safe and happy, healthy new year. Thanks for tuning in to Loro and Friends Inside the NFL, Ben. And to all our listeners out there, happy new year. And we will see you guys on Saturday when Ben and I return for Patriots Talk as we dive in more deep in the Patriots and Jets game and more AFC East news and notes.
Yeah, so the next time I'll talk to you is 2021. So we'll talk then. And thanks for everybody.
Yeah, so again, happy new year to you. Almost in the East Coast. You're 2 hours away from welcoming in 2021.
Yep, we're almost there here. So we'll talk on Saturday, and we'll talk more football. So we'll
all right, for sure. We'll see.